Coming up this week on Vacation Lands, SeaWorld announces a special offer for teachers and preschoolers. In breaking news this morning, the Disneyland Resort doesn't, not really breaking news, is it? But does announce a price increase for annual passes and multi-day tickets. Also, we're going to be talking about some of the changes coming to Downtown Disney. And in our continuing series of our winter preview for what's coming in the parks, we're going to talk a little bit about Pixar Fest and our thoughts on that. So hang on to your hats and glasses and your wallets, because from an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is Vacation Land. Vacation Land for the week of February 12th, 2018. You can connect with Vacation Land by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram, a VL podcast, and our Twitter at Vacation Land Show. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Vacation Land, a discussion of the latest theme park news, reviews, trip planning, and history from around Southern California and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park experts and fans. My name is Chris Ramirez. I'm the host and executive producer of Vacation Land. And this week I am joined by YouTube sensation and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Strautman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
And I've got a replacement John and contributor, John Strautman. Hi, John.
Hey there.
So John is going to be again, we're looking forward to John joining us more. You may have heard him in another podcast joining us sort of intermittently, but we're going to be having him more on this week. So hello, everyone, and welcome to Vacation Land. I want to apologize for not getting a show up last week, but hopefully you enjoyed some of the other content that we put out on our Facebook page. We got some cool pictures of the Charlie Brown Day. They actually invited a bunch of Charlie Browns to Knott's Berry Farm for Charlie Brown Day, which is part of their Peanuts celebration. So how have you guys been doing?
Good. Wait, question. Yeah. The Charlie Browns, you said they invited a bunch of Charlie Browns?
Literally invited people named Charles Brown or Charlie
no
Brown.
No way.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty neat.
That's funny.
They had a, so they took a big group picture of all of the Charlie Browns.
Wearing their Charlie Brown shirt. I did see that.
Right.
That's awesome.
Charlie Brown shirts on. So again, we were going to have another show last week with Aaron and a couple of other friends, and the flu bug hit. I know the flu bug is really hitting people hard. So we decided to just take an extra week off and come back nice and healthy. So one thing I did want to hit on before we get into the show, last show, we talked about the Peanuts celebration, and you can go back and find your thoughts on that. I was able to chaperone a high school winter formal, a high school dance, and they had it at Knott's Berry Farm. And I have to agree that with Brandis's assessment of the there wasn't open for the high schoolers. Obviously, Camp Subi wasn't open, but some of the decorations, and I mean, the decorations are cute. They had kites in the trees, you know, like the tree eating kite, but it wasn't just limited to Camp Snoopy. It was kind of all over the place. And so I don't, what do you guys think about that? I know you guys haven't had a chance to go yet, but
I mean, it's not that we haven't had a chance. I really just don't desire a peanut celebration. I understand it's the, you know, official character of Knott's Berry Farm, but really Knott's Berry Farm is more about the whole country western theme and
more of the ghost town
and the boysenberry.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of Knott's Berry Farm.
Dude, whatever, Snoopy, my man, Snoopy. What, leave? You
no,
don't like
it's
Snoopy?
Just, it feels forced. There's Camp Snoopy. Mm-hmm. Camp Snoopy is fun.
Yeah,
but to do it like a whole peanut celebration, it just feels forced. And
it feels like they're trying to
looking for something. And
yeah, it looks like they're trying to compete with Disney as far as the festivals and characters and really even Universal Studios, and they have Harry Potter now, which we all know John's a big fan of. But,
yeah.
You know, Knott's is really lacking in that intellectual property type of thing to really make them stand out. And I know they're trying. They have these festivals going on. They have the Boysenberry Festival come up, which we will be covering. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, gosh, I love Boysenberry Festival.
Yeah, so they just announced the dates.
Well, that wouldn't be there without the Peanuts. Like, okay.
That's not true.
Yeah, they've carried this whole thing.
The Peanuts celebration is brand new.
Well, weren't the Peanuts like the big deal for a while? Like before the Boysenberry thing?
No, the Boysenberry's definitely came first. Yeah, okay. It was Walter Knott and, you know, then the Chicken Dinner Restaurant. Which,
Snoopy on Ice.
Which, I mean, you know, that's
Snoopy
a good
on
question.
Ice is fun. I do enjoy Snoopy on Ice.
When did they add the Peanuts characters is a good question. Even as a kid, I remember Snoopy on Ice.
Mm-hmm. It was in the 80s. It was in the early, I want to say 80. 84, 85.
So it's more recent Knott's history.
Within our, we're all, it's three of us sitting here, we're all kind of the same age, where it's, we're, it was definitely more our recent childhood history, you know, and it wasn't, definitely wasn't the 60s or 70s when the Peanuts were actually popular.
Far out, Snoopy. So, yeah.
So that's,
I guess that's why for me, you're right. It's like kind of like as growing up, it's always been there. So for me, I just feel like, I don't know. You guys, it seems like you guys are hating on Knott's all the time.
No. I love
to do stuff.
I love Knott's. I love the Boysenberry Festival.
You just hate
just not a
cartoons.
Big, no. It's just the Snoopy theme doesn't fit the Western theme or the history of the farm and the Boysenberry. And
but if you put a cowboy hat on Snoopy, then it fits.
Then it's totally okay.
You know what I mean?
But all it's right, like, it makes sense, like the whole Boysenberry Festival, because he, like, what other theme park bred their own berry? Like, it's a.
Yeah, that's a, one of the, I mean, so yeah, that's how the theme park, I mean, that's how the.
Well, I like the, I like the ghost town aspect even more. Yeah, I get it, but I'm just saying, you know, they're trying to do something different and fun, and I don't know.
So the boys, so we know the Boysenberry Festival this year is going to be daily from March 16th through April 8th. And I think we should have a group field trip out there to go and check it out.
We should.
So
what were those dates?
It's March 16th through April the 8th.
The Boysenberry Festival?
The Boysenberry
Festival.
It's
usually more in April.
Yeah, that's directly from the Knott's website. Yeah, it's March through April 2018, and then as part of their summer, they're going to be Hang Time is opening up.
Can't wait!
That looks like a lot of fun. But I just wanted to take a moment and say, in chaperoning this dance, it was really neat. You know, you got to go, and essentially, you're wandering around a closed theme park. Not all the rides are open. Like Camp Snoopy's definitely not open, but there's definitely all of the areas open. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys have been to Knott's, and there's dark alleys and dark corners, yeah. And it just seemed, felt really odd, because you wouldn't go to a Disney private party and have, if the area wasn't open, you wouldn't be able to go in there. But this seemed like an extraordinarily bad idea to have all these areas open and no security and a bunch of teenagers running around.
So. Makes your job a lot harder as a chaperone.
I was writing.
There's actually there's some great dark places in Knott's.
Brenda says, but yeah, we were definitely riding roller coasters, and chaperoning was probably in quotations a little bit. But so Knott's released some of their food items at the remainder of the Peanuts celebration, which is going on through, and pull it up here, through February 28th is the Knott's Peanut Celebration. So are you guys ready for some of the food items?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Specialty food items. All right. So they're going to have Charlie Brownies at the Ghost Town.
So creative.
The Ghost Town Bakery, Farm Bakery, and Grizzly Creek Lodge, a couple of other places. The Charlie Brown Marshmallow Pop, the Charlie Brown Rice Krispie Square. I'm assuming it's a Rice Krispie Square that looks like.
I think
probably
just
has a chocolate squiggle across it.
The Charlie Brown cupcake.
So are they just putting Charlie Brown in front of everything?
No, because they also have the Snoopy cupcake.
Okay, got it.
Oh, and then they have the Charlie Brown Coca-Cola.
You're right. this sounds interesting. The peanut butter funnel cake.
Oh, that does sound good.
The Ghost Town Funnel.
Yeah.
Which, from experience, I can tell you, the Ghost Town Funnel. Because I worked at Knott's and Foods for a couple of years out of high school. The Ghost Town Funnel is the only place in the park where you can get a funnel cake that's not frozen. They actually make it with
that's
the batter
funny.
And they squiggle it on the oil. And
because that's the only place I've ever gotten the funnel cake there, and I didn't even know that.
Every other funnel cake place at Knott's Berry Farm uses frozen funnel cakes, and Ghost Town Funnel by the log ride is the only place that doesn't use frozen.
I didn't know you could
cakes.
Get them other places than that. That's weird.
Yeah,
there's a couple places.
I can't remember the name of it, but there's this one place by the barn in Ghost Town, like next to Ghost Town Grill. It's maybe that's the name. It's not. No. Anyway, it's near the sit down restaurant, and you just walk up to the window. When they had the Boysenberry Festival, they're the ones that were selling the Boysenberry cinnamon roll.
Gotcha.
Do you remember when we...
I do.
Yeah, so that place does funnel cake as well, but I've never gotten it there.
So they are also doing the a white chocolate dipped frozen banana, a chocolate dipped strawberry, which I guess they don't normally do.
What are they calling that banana?
Just a white chocolate dipped frozen banana. So it's not like Charlie Brown's or Snoopy's. Oh, what, you
know. Snoopy's
it's
banana.
Not, it's not Linus's banana or anything like that. They're doing a peanut butter raspberry mousse cake. And now this is a Fruit Loops crisp bar.
Okay.
So it's just a Rice Krispie made with Fruit Loops instead of Rice Krispies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like it is. Peanut butter, raspberry mousse cake. So some interesting that some interesting stuff, some not as interesting stuff.
Some filler there.
Some filler. Yeah, definitely some filler. But yeah, Disney does the same exact thing. They do these celebrations and they have these, you know, oh, we have some special food items and it's a, you know, Maleficent's cupcake and it's purple frosting and a chocolate cupcake. But what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, usually Knott's is a lot better with their food, but maybe they're just maxing it out for the Boysenberry Festival.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I'm really looking forward to the Boysenberry Festival.
Their
this
first
year.
Boysenberry Festival, Starbucks created a Boysenberry latte just for Knott's.
They also have a Boysenberry Frappuccino that
yes.
they do.
Well, because anything you make into a latte at Starbucks could be made into a Frappuccino.
Yeah, we both know that, unfortunately.
But yeah, I actually had to go get it, and it's not bad. I mean, usually mixing coffee with fruit is not good, but it's not bad.
Do they have – I know they had the Starbucks that's outside.
That's new.
That's new.
So they had a coffee near the end of Boardwalk. They had a little coffee, not exactly kiosk, just like a walk-up window. And they started, they turned it into kind of a mini Starbucks. So you could get Starbucks in the park. But you can't bring, until the Starbucks that opened outside the park, they changed the rules. So before, even though they had a Starbucks in the park, you could not bring a Starbucks from outside the park.
Oh, that's unnecessarily cruel.
Yeah, and their Starbucks in the park is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Considering.
Is a Starbucks outside the park more normal?
That is a prices? Normal Starbucks. Looks just like okay. any other Starbucks. And now you can bring Starbucks in the park.
If you okay,
so buy your Starbucks in another city and then come there.
Where is the one that is located? I mean, there's one down the street by Movie Land Wax Museum. Or what used to be Movie Land Wax Museum.
Is that gone?
Oh yeah, it's been gone for it's been gone for better part of a decade now. But the sign is still there.
Man.
Yeah, but the sign is still there. So you're like, oh, I'm gonna go to the wax museum. Yeah, when you get there.
I love that. Oh man.
Actually, you knew that. We
I did know that.
We
you're
pulled
right.
over into that parking lot for some reason once.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
can't remember why we were there.
So I lied. I knew that. Go on.
All right. So that's a little bit of catching up on the Boysenberry Festival. Why? Yeah. You know. So we have a lot of things to get up to today. So let's start park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
And so we had some other stories set aside for today, but you may or may not know that we're recording this on Sunday. What is today? The
10th?
The 10th?
Or 11th.
And we actually had some breaking news this morning, and we're going to kick the news off with Brandis. Brandis, what happened this morning?
Well, a Russian plane crashed. No. Oh no! Disney announced a price increase to one day admission and annual passes. Disneyland is raising prices for most admissions today. A move that surprises virtually no one as the park prepares for the 2019 opening of its much anticipated Star Wars Land. Is it really called Star Wars Land?
It's called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but that just sounds silly.
So well, because Star Wars Land doesn't sound
right. Star Wars Land doesn't sound any better.
I think that's what people will call it.
Exactly. And that's
because, like, in Universal Studios, it's Harry Potter World, even though it's just a tiny section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, but just land. Star Wars is more than a land.
Yeah, right. Harry Potter is consistently letting people down, yes.
You are.
But yeah, so I think John's right. Just they let it go for so long with people just calling it Star Wars Land that now that just it's what it is.
Yeah.
It's what it's going to be called. And then no one's going to call it Galaxy's Edge.
Anaheim Resort officials have been struggling for years to balance their desire to keep the parks full against the reality that they're crowded on a daily basis, even during the winter renovation season when attendance used to be light. Starting today, all tickets and annual passes are now pricier, except for the cheapest value single-day off-season ticket, which will remain the same at $97, and the value one-day park hopper, which will actually decrease in price from $157 to $147. So you could use that $10 saving to get a churro.
Half a churro.
Yeah. Annual pass holders will now pay at least $100 more per year, except for the Southern California Select Pass, which is blocked out on weekends and will go up only $30 per year. This move is clearly intended to increase revenues while also decreasing crowds on the busiest days by making it significantly cheaper to go during the week and winter. The ticket types, as we said, value one day one park is only $97. One-day park hopper went down to $147. The regular one-day one-day park hopper only went up $2 from $165 to $167. Let's see, biggest increase, signature plus annual passport is up from $1,049 to $1,149. So I can't see my news anymore. Okay, there we go. Sorry, lights went out. Okay.
The room, so everybody knows, the room that we're in has a motion light sensor, and if you don't keep moving while we're recording, the lights will go out and we can't read the story.
You know, and actually it looks like the signature annual passport has the highest increase by $150.
And this was all over the Twitter sphere and the, you know, theme park pages on Facebook this morning, and we'll get into the price increases in a second, but somebody was also saying that there's the Signature Plus annual pass, which is the you know, the super fancy one, and it comes with a couple of interesting options, but the one below that, just the Signature Pass, you used to be able to get free photo pass downloads, and you could get free digital, you know, the Disney photographers that stand there and take up space and, you know, take your picture, and you presumably buy it later. With the Signature and the Signature Plus Pass, you could get the digital file of that downloaded for free. It came as part of the cost of the ticket. However, with the new price increase, it appears that they've removed that perk from the Signature annual passport. So the price went up. You're getting a little bit less. I don't know how many people take advantage of that. I know I've taken advantage of it maybe once in the time that I've had. I have the Signature Plus passport, annual pass, but you know, it's definitely was a benefit that they offered to you that they're not offering anymore. What do we think about this? I kind of wrote a little bit of that story where this is a surprise to no one. Everybody's been anticipating it. There's been rumors floating around on the internet for a couple of days. There was speculation that they were going to eliminate the monthly payment plan for annual pass holders, which I think if they want to eliminate overcrowding, that's the first place to start, because, you know, part of the story that wasn't in there was that they are estimating, Disneyland didn't release the figures, but they're estimating that there's over 1 million annual pass holders.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
Those people are all going to want to see Star Wars Land when it opens in 2019. I know I have friends that work for the company. They are anticipating that Disneyland will be completely blocked out in 2019 because of the anticipated crowds to come and see Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So
maybe we should skip Disneyland for a couple of years.
It's going to be, they're anticipating a lot of crowds, and I think it's all going to be, I think the rest of the park is going to be fine, but I think we're going to be seeing the park hit, especially during the busy periods, is the park's going to be hitting capacity earlier and more frequently, and part of what they're attempting to do here is mitigate some of that by raising the prices so much that the people that are able to go whenever they want just stay away. And they're, again, people were hoping that, some people were hoping that they were going to eliminate that monthly payment portion, and they didn't do it for now, but they also said that changes are coming to the annual pass program.
Does that, so that means you'd have to pay it all up front?
You would have to pay it all up front.
And that would take out,
that would take out a lot of people, because I think even with my Signature Plus pass, it's only like $85 a month. They take it out, I don't even notice when it goes out.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're doing a
but if you're paying it all up front. Yeah.
If you're paying it all up front. Now, if you got a family of four and you have four annual passes, you know,
you got to wait for tax return time.
Exactly. So now you're talking about, I just buy mine for myself. But, you know, you're talking about almost $5,000 to get your family of four if you want those Signature Plus passes. Otherwise, now I think on their brand list it said that it did mention the Southern California Select.
Yes.
Is not
the Southern California Annual Passport is now only offering renewals. It's on hiatus, and
which we did talk about that I think last year sometime they did. So that was one of the cheapest passes where it's like your payment is, I think your payment's like $35 a month. That's insane. That is, you know, anybody can, I mean, not anybody can afford that, but that makes it so much more affordable for people to be able to go to Disneyland.
It's easier to like write that off, whereas you look at a lump sum, you're like, oh, this is like a real...
You know, two things here is we talked before about how Disneyland is kind of like, it feels like they're attacking middle class and below.
Absolutely.
So this feels like more of that. The other thing is, I know John, you know, just mentioned that we kind of give Knott's Berry Farm a hard time. But one thing I've always loved about Knott's Berry Farm is they take care of their pass holders. And they make it so easy, and they have so many add-ons, so it's like anybody pretty much can afford it.
And Disneyland, for their part, you know, the article talked about Disneyland has this kind of love-hate relationship with their annual pass holders. The annual pass holders are definitely more vocal here in Southern California. It's definitely a locals' park than they are kind of, you know, in Florida or, you know, other places. But it's these sheer numbers of them that show up, and, you know, it's... I read recently in an old planning article from the 90s when they were planning the expansion of DCA, they were anticipating at that time when they were designing the parking structure an average of like maybe like 3.5 people per car coming into the Disneyland Resort, which is how they designed their parking structure. A few years ago, they released information that showed instead of those 3.5 people, because so many people have annual passes, now it's down to like 1.5. So now you have to have more parking because people are not coming as part of a family vacation, 5 to a car, 3 to a car. They're coming kind of like you go to the mall.
Like after work.
Yeah.
Or something.
For a couple of hours, they'll go ride a ride and then they'll go home, but they're still occupying that parking space. So Disney's constantly trying to temper this revenue flow that they get because it is, you know, it's a constant cash flow with the demands of people that are increasingly getting upset because the parks are so crowded. Now, Fastpass, I think, has a lot to do with how crowded the park feels, but that's a discussion for another time.
Wait. Yeah, well, I want to hear about that.
Okay, so Fastpass, so the parks were never designed to have Fastpass, right? The park was opened in 1955, and the walkways are very narrow. Well, when Fastpass was released, the idea was you take people out of these long, snaking queues, right? Because they're not spending money when they don't. Don't stand in line, you're not spending money, right?
Yeah.
And this was all like Paul Pressler and Michael Eisner, and they all came up with this brilliant idea. Paul Pressler was the president of the resort at the time. And so they said, well, how can we increase revenue? Well, we'll come up with this. Now it's inching towards not being free anymore. It's still free. But this idea that we'll sell on people, it's like, okay, well, now you don't have to wait in line anymore, right? So now you're taking all these, you know, thousands of people that were waiting in a long, snaking, you know, back switching queue. And you say, okay, now you're free from that. Now you can go into the shops, into the restaurants, you can go spend money. But what that does is instead of putting them in queues, it dumps them out into the walkways. Mm. And so I don't know if the park is, I'm sure the park is more crowded, but it feels so crowded because of how many people get dumped out under the walkways from using FastPass. And people love it. People love FastPass because they don't have to wait in line. They can just come in. You can go on another ride. The reverse side of that is that you feel all of those people just with waiting,
yeah,
right, in these walkways that were never designed to have people just standing around in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And there it feels more crowded. Now, Brandis, you were saying something about the annual passes earlier before we started recording, that the annual passes at Knott's are just like a season pass, right?
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much, no matter when you buy it. So they start selling the passes for the next year in November. So that's when you're going to get your cheapest monthly payment, because then you have so many months to pay it. So pretty much your pass is paid off by June, no matter when you get it. And they divide it up into monthly payments, or you could pay all up front. So if you get it after June, you have to pay it all up front, but it's good for January 1st or whatever day you buy it until December 31st. But
no matter when you buy it.
But they really take care of their pass holders. They have no blackout days. On their busiest days, they open up early for pass holders.
Wow.
All summer. So all summer you get in. It used to be an hour, but last summer it was only 30 minutes. But still, you get in early.
Now, how busy does that? Like Boysenberry Festival, I think, was the last time I was there last year or the year before. Before I was there a couple weeks ago. But how busy does it get at Knott's Berry Farm on like a Saturday?
In the summer?
It's insane.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah. We don't ride rides in the summer.
Wow. Well, they don't. I do. But it's like, because I'm only there to do that. But
well, because the lines are so long.
Yeah.
And it's hot. Like,
there's not a lot of shade at Knott's Berry Farm.
No.
Yeah.
But it's still stuff to do. Like, if you're just kind of walking around looking at stuff, like, it's still like family fun, whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Outside of the peanut festival, they always have something good going on.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
By the way, did you guys see that they it's totally off topic, but they the fountain that's over there in the old Roaring Twenties, it's back to being a fountain.
Oh yeah.
It was a planter forever.
Yeah, it goes back and forth.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like one day you go there and it's filled with flowers for, well, because before they started the Boysenberry Festival, they had a spring/Easter thing,
right.
And they would fill it with flowers then, and then you go back after that for summer, it's filled with water.
Oh, interesting. I just assumed that they stopped.
It was gone.
Yeah, it was just gone.
Yeah,
it was
and
just not a fountain
sometimes
anymore.
They do shows around it, and they've That's turned right, it yeah. into a stage before.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
So, but back to the Disneyland price increases. I know you guys have a trip planned. How does this affect your travel plans?
We just go one day a year during the off season, so we get that one day ticket that doesn't affect the price increase.
That price didn't go up.
Yeah,
that's the one day. One park ticket is still
so they're not doing flexible pricing, because I know they discussed it before.
Yeah, I think that's the $97 is the one day off season ticket, because they are still doing the
so they do
flex
love
pricing.
Us.
Well, because I mean, how Universal Studios does it is if you buy an off season ticket months in advance, that's going to be the cheapest. If you buy it the day of, even though it's an off-season day, the price is increased than when you would have bought it before.
Okay, so if you buy a ticket for Universal, you said Universal Studios? Yeah. Universal Studios, if you buy it ahead of, well, then they do that in Florida as well. Like, if you pre-purchase your ticket, it's like $10 or $15 cheaper than it is if you literally walk up to the booth.
Go online to their website and play around with their ticket options, like change the date of the days and watch the ticket price change.
That's funny. So, all right. Well, that's it. Let us know your thoughts on the price increases. The story is up on our Facebook page. It's from the Orange County Register. And let us know how this affected your plans or how these will affect your plans in the future too. I know a friend of mine, we had kind of joked around about her getting an annual pass, and she sent me a message this morning and said, well, because I'm not getting one now. So, you know, again, Disney has a sort of like love-hate relationship with their pass holders. They want to keep them around, but they want to keep them at arm's length, I think, and they want to start pricing them out, but they're not ready to get rid of the monthly payments. It's just weird.
It's like they want them, but they want them to do what they want them to do. Like,
there has also been talk about making next year for 2019, making Star Wars an add-on to your annual pass.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you want to go to Star Wars in the first year, you've got to buy like the Star Wars, you know, the dark side annual pass, or, you know.
Well, they can make that fun, though. Like, your pass comes with things like Lieutenant or...
Right. Somehow to integrate it. They're going to have to do something. And now there will be those people that pay whatever they're going to charge to get into Star Wars Land. Star Wars Land. What do you guys feel about Star about Galaxy's Edge? Does that do anything for you?
Yes, it does. But it also, I mean, it's not like the, I don't know. I want to check it out.
I know Disney owns the rights to Star Wars now, but it doesn't feel Disney to me. So I'm actually disappointed in the whole deal. It would have felt better if it was at Universal Studios or...
I would have preferred it to not be at Disneyland. I don't mind that Disney owns the rights. I don't mind that Disney's putting it in a park. It doesn't feel Disneyland to me. You know, they're over in Florida, they're putting it in at their Hollywood Studios park, and that's fine. That's
didn't George work on something for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, our father-in-law, my father-in-law. What did he do?
It was top secret, so I don't know why you're saying anything.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I can't say anything.
Again, this is one of those conversations like we had a few months ago. Like, you know, if you live in Southern California, you can throw a rock and someone will know someone that's working for, you know.
It's Disney. I don't know. Like, it's definitely interesting to check out. And, I mean, if it's going to be anywhere, Disneyland's going to do the best job of it, I believe. So, I mean, I still don't really – I haven't really done a deep dive into everything that they're doing there, but, like – gonna be cool.
Oh, I have no doubt. I think it's gonna look great. Now they're also
Disney doesn't have ask anything.
So. Yeah. They're also $200 million over budget and they haven't, you know, put a single animatronic in.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there was a lot of construction issues and there.
So that might take longer than
They didn't release a specific date. They just said 2019. But they were hundreds of millions of dollars over budget before the first building went up. I can't imagine, you know, what it is now. So there's a lot of talk about them cutting stuff, cutting entertainment offerings, cutting these different things that were going to make it that next level, sort of Harry Potter Wizarding World esque, where it's just immersive and
that sucks. You know,
so there's a lot of talk about that. Now they have to cut stuff, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. People are going to line up. People are going to go. People are going to have to close the land early, like they did for Wizarding World. Harry Potter, there's going to be a capacity issue, and that's going to be great for Disney. But at the same time,
it'll have all that in the beginning, and then it'll even out, won't it?
Of course, yeah. Because I mean, Wizarding World did over in Florida.
Yeah, and they still do for Wizarding World. They still do. You could buy a special ticket to get into just Harry Potter World for an hour earlier than the rest of the ticket holders, and. If you show up for that time, though, it is so packed. And then once the rest of the park opens, it empties out. And that right there is extremely smart because, like, you get in an hour early.
And you beat all those crowds. And
yeah, and then that crowd leaves.
Okay. That's something if you're interested in, even if you're into Harry Potter like John is, then, you know, that's a great thing to check out. John's not in Harry Potter at all. Go back and listen to the show. It's great. It's right before Christmas. Okay. So, all right. So that's that. Again, let us know your feelings on this. Comment. You can email us at vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts and feelings. We're going to move on, and John's going to go the opposite direction. Tell us about what's going on at SeaWorld, John.
Let's swim over to SeaWorld and see what's going on here. All right, SeaWorld San Diego is offering preschoolers and California teachers the chance to visit the park for free as many times as they'd like
together?
In 2018. Please don't interrupt what I'm reading. I'm just kidding. What'd you say?
Are the preschoolers and teachers going together?
With the press releases, that certainly makes it seem like you have to take a preschooler with you. But
well, let's find out more. SeaWorld's preschool fun card offers unlimited admission for children 5 years old and younger for $10. The pass is valid until December 31st, 2018. Of course, there are some specifics to know before grabbing the pass. In these bullet points, I'm going to go down the line here. Preschool fun cards are only available for purchase online. The card must be redeemed before March 31st, 2018. Blackout dates?
Depends
both.
On the park.
I think it's
it
both.
Could be either.
It could be either one.
Okay, well, we're going to go with blockout because it says blockout dates apply and the card doesn't include parking, separate ticket events, or other discounts.
So pretty much they're forcing parents to buy a pass.
Right,
unless they go
right,
with the teacher.
Right, unless they go with the... Yeah.
And I guess we still haven't figured out...
Or you're a teacher with a preschooler.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Double whammy.
Poor husband.
School IDs or children's security IDs will not be accepted as proof of identity. The offer is only available to children 5 years old and younger in San Diego and Orange County, California. And there are only 10,000 free preschool cards available on a first-come, first-served basis while supplies last. After that time, a $10 preschool fund card will become available. For kindergarten through 12 classroom teachers, the park is offering the Teacher Fund Card. The complimentary card offers free, unlimited admissions to SeaWorld San Diego for active and certified kindergarten through 12 teachers in California and Arizona who hold a current teaching credential. So I think that answers our question. There's the kids and then there's the teachers, right? Okay.
Unless the teachers have kids.
Unless the teachers have kids.
But only a preschooler. And
so I wonder why, though. I wonder why the teachers...
Leave your second grader at home.
Right.
With dad.
So I wonder why the teachers on their own, like, just so they...
I think they're just doing it as a promotion.
Just to be nice.
Yeah, as a promotion.
Something they can utilize.
That they can get people in the park.
It's kind of smart marketing, because then the teacher's going to go back to school, and, like, when they're teaching about whales or something, be like, and you could go to SeaWorld.
I think it's just good PR because, you know, SeaWorld could use some
we
of that.
Take care of our teachers. Right. Yeah. Kind of like how Knott's takes care of
the military
and the firemen. And,
yeah. But that's, which is interesting. Was that the end of the story, John?
No, there's a little bit more, but okay. You want to read it?
Or? Go ahead. Yeah.
The card also includes two free single day admission tickets. Like the preschool card, some exclusions will apply for the teacher's card. The card must be redeemed by May 18th, 2018. Blockout dates apply, and the card doesn't include parking. Credentials for K-12 teachers in California and Arizona must register online. Teachers must redeem the cards themselves. More details about registering can be found online at SeaWorld.com.
An interesting point that Brandis made was the Knott's, the comparison to the Knott's discount. Now, when you're doing the Knott's discount, you can be military, you can be firefighter, you can be police officer, but you can also be like a support person. So you can, if you're, my friend was a dispatcher for the LA County Sheriff's.
Right.
It's a lot of, so those people are also included. From what I gathered from this story was you have to be a certificated teacher. So even if you work in education, so you're a counselor or secretary or you know, someone that's not a certificated teacher, you're out of luck.
Basically the ones that are too busy to go.
Right. Or have a whole summer to
know what, actually, and Chipotle does something similar. It's like once or twice a year they offer free lunch or dinner to teachers only. Whereas Chick-fil-A will do something where it's school employees.
Now how does Chipotle, how do they make that? Like, do you have to bring your teacher's
certificate? Well, I'm not a teacher, sir. Certificate. But yeah, there's pretty much, I would think, because, I mean, you work for a school, don't you have an employee badge?
I do, and that's...
Because, I do too, and it says my position on there.
Right,
it says
mine on there too. Yeah, so maybe it has to say teacher. Now, like over in Disney World, like at the Swan and Dolphin Resort, you get a school discount, right? So you just have to bring your stub or your badge. But again, it doesn't have to say teacher on it. It just says, you know, whatever your badge, whatever your job title is. Are you guys familiar with Raising Cane's?
Yes.
So Raising Cane's, there's one local here to where we record. And one of the smartest things that they did when they opened was that they sent out gift certificates or gift cards, $10 or whatever, to every employee in the school district.
Yes, I did get one.
Did you get one of those? Yeah, I got one. So you go to your mailbox at the school, and you know, it doesn't matter if you're a secretary or if you're, you know, an ROP instructor or a coach. Like, if you have it in a mailbox, you got a $10 gift certificate. It just wasn't, and that's brilliant marketing, because I went to Raising Cane's and, you know, I ate their food and I've gone back, and I love companies that do.
I just ate their food that one time. Just that one time. Back.
Yeah. But I like to support businesses that support the community, and they're one of the ones that do that. So I know you have to go in the SeaWorld one, you've got to go and register online and, I don't know, provide a link to wherever your teacher certificate is. And
it answer seems 20 questions.
Yeah,
walk
right.
Walk backwards.
Make a lesson plan.
Apply to be a teacher again.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it seems. Now, if you want to go to SeaWorld for free, it's a great deal. And if it takes you 20 minutes to do it, you know, if you want
Let
to
me
spend...
ask you this.
Sure.
Because we're saying, like, well, Knott's and all the, like, a bunch of other things they'll do, you know, all these other, you know, cops, firefighter, whatever. Do they do that on top of this, you think? Or is this, like, the only thing they do? Because that
doesn't
seem...
As far as I know, this is... Now, they may come out with... They may come out with another... special or something promotion there, because I know the Knott's one, we've done that story here, you know.
Yeah.
The Knott's one is like once a year. The Disneyland has limited things for veterans. I think they sell like a veteran's ticket or something. Okay. But you have to go to the PX. You've got to go to the on-base store to get your discounted ticket. Okay. It's a lot like...
So Knott's is like the best in that respect.
They always
You know, they're kind of wide open. It's like they're not as corporate. I mean, that makes sense to me. It seems like SeaWorld and Disneyland is super corporate, like scanning badges and... Right. I mean,
well, yeah, and SeaWorld, I mean, the SeaWorld veterans, sorry, the Knott's Berry Farm veterans and police thing is a holdover from when it was a family owned park. It was with the, you know, right. it was the Knott's family before Cedar Fair came in. So they're still corporate, but I think they kept some of those values,
the family
holdovers.
Feeling.
Right. Again, like Disneyland, they offer discounted. It's like when you, like, I'm part of a union, you know, because I have to. Working with the school district, I'm part of a union. So, you know, if I want to buy a discounted ticket, I've got to go down to the union office and buy my discounted ticket from the ticket sales there. So they certainly don't make it easy or convenient for you if, like Knott's does. You know, they have their time and all you got, you know, their time of year and you just show up. But I think it's a nice gesture. I think it's good PR on Knott's part. This story is a couple of weeks old. I've just been sitting on it waiting for the right time. So I wonder how many of those 10,000 preschooler tickets are, you know, still there. How many people were like, I'm gonna take my preschooler.
I picture a line of like a raging like group of teen like a preschooler just like yelling and screaming trying to get in.
Trying to get on the Kraken, but they can't because they're too short.
I mean, and it's just for preschoolers, but it's like most theme parks let you bring your kid for free under the age of 4 or the age of 3.
Right.
So it's not that great.
So
mom and dad still have to buy a ticket.
Right, so preschoolers is what, like 3 to 5, we'll say? Three to four. If your kid is 2, you know, you're going to get in for free anyway. In a lot of places, if your kid is 3 and under, get in for free.
And, you know, and sometimes when they're 5, you tell them they're 3 and you get them in for free. Yeah.
And sometimes illegal.
It's not illegal.
It's illegal. That's messed up.
I think we covered this on our last show.
It's unethical, not illegal.
What would Jesus do?
Not go to Disneyland.
Order a Frappuccino.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. And then we have one more thing that we're going to talk about before we move on to Pixar Pier, and that is more changes are coming to Downtown Disney. This was very exciting. San Diego-based Ballast Point, a pioneer in the craft beer industry and one of the nation's leading craft breweries, known for high-quality, award-winning, and innovative beers, announced the opening of a brewery, tasting room and kitchen, and the Downtown Disney District at the Disneyland Resort. The opening marks the first-ever brewery for Downtown Disney. Opening in late 2018, the 7,000-square-foot space will house a 3-barrel research and development brewery. Just pour me the beer. New American restaurant and outdoor beer garden. This will be Ballast Point's first location in Orange County and 7th in Southern California. Along with its beers, the restaurant's menu will offer a taste of San Diego with some of its more popular dishes from its brew pubs, including Baja fish style tacos, house-made pretzel with beer mustard, which may cut into the other pretzel place there at Disneyland's business. Similar to Ballast Point's brewing philosophy, the kitchen will only source the best possible ingredients, including steroid and antibiotic-free proteins, line-caught fish, and local produce when available. The kitchen will feature seasonally inspired menus with a focus on cuisine that not only pairs well with the selection of beers, but also incorporates them in the recipes. The location will also offer a children's menu along with a gluten-free and vegan options for guests. The location will be family-friendly, offering an outdoor patio and large party cabana-style seating, and visitors 21-plus can enjoy many of Ballast Point's iconic beers, including its flagship and award-winning Sculpin IPA, as well as exclusive custom limited edition beers available only at the Downtown Disney location. Ballast Point started in 1996 and a small group of home brewers now operates 7 breweries located in Southern California and Virginia. The company makes over 50 styles of beers and distributes to 49 states and 17 countries internationally. They started in 1996 as a small group of home brewers. Excited? Yes? Beer drinkers?
Yeah, I am. I've only had Ballast Point once, though, and I wasn't impressed for what it cost.
Interesting.
I know beer drinkers are going to hate me for this, but I prefer just like buying Shock Top or something. But we did try a brewery recently, and a very small local one that was really good. So I'm not just Shock Top specific, but yeah. So I don't know. I'm
the
indifferent to the cost is what really got me. Like this beer, it just wasn't worth the cost.
And this is it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in Orange County and at Downtown Disney, especially with Anaheim having the packing house so close by. You know, you can go down. They have some craft breweries down there, and you know, artisan inspired food. But the irony of this is that this location, I believe, is taking over what used to be Build-A-Bear. So it's either Build-A-Bear or Ride Makers.
Build-A-Beer.
They should actually combine those two.
Build-A-Beer?
No. Well, yeah, no, like, yeah, he said Build-A-Beer, but no, yeah, like you get drunk and then make a stuffed animal.
Or a car, or a racing car.
Yes.
I am excited by that. I spent some time in my previous career working down in San Diego, and this place is huge. Like this place and a couple of other breweries in San Diego is super into the craft beers. I'm kind of over it. I'm with Brandis, I think, on this one. Just pour me the beer and I don't need to, you know, have it taste like a Christmas tree. I'm not the biggest fan of IPAs, and that's what Ballast Point's kind of known for.
Yeah.
It's funny you said Christmas tree because I literally got a beer once that said piney, and I'm like, what does piney mean? And then I got it. I'm like, oh my God, gross. This tastes like a Christmas tree.
If you boiled a Christmas tree and
strained it. Why do I want to eat pine? Like, I'll mop my floor with it, but.
I do not get the whole concept of the super IPA IPA. I will never understand
that. Like I said, I had Ballast Point once. It was like I bought a six pack. I had been wanting a grapefruit beer because I'd had orange and lemon and they were so delicious and I love grapefruit. So I'm like, why isn't there a grapefruit beer? So one day I'm at the store and I see Ballast Point grapefruit. It's like $17 a six pack.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, well, this must be good. I've been looking for grapefruit. It's super expensive. This is going to be good. It tasted, anybody who eats grapefruit, there's two parts to it. There's the bright citrus taste, and then there's the bitter taste. They captured the bitter-only taste. It was just the bitter pith.
And that's the part of grapefruit that I don't care for.
Yeah.
I'm not a big grapefruit fan, but I do.
Oh, no, I love grapefruit, but you got to, you know, work past that bitter. You got to pull all that part off, and it's like they brewed the beer with just the bitter pith and zest instead of the sweet, bright.
She said pith.
I know. My daughter laughs whenever I say that word. I don't have a lisp. It's pith. P-I-T-H.
Downtown Disney. I mean, it's not like Downtown Disney has a you know, dearth of good places to eat. This is going to be just one more place.
What about, you know, what's that jungle one? I just lost me.
Oh, the the Rainforest Cafe.
I hate that
place. There will be one less Rainforest Cafe when we're all done here, because that's where the hotel is going. But there's certainly good places to eat in Downtown Disney, right? We're not lacking for fancy places. A brewery, it's very hip, you know, it's very, you know, 2012 hip.
Yeah.
But I think it's, we'll see how it does. We'll see if people are going to go, and they've been trying to keep away locals, but they've been, you know, they're trying to keep, again, going back to the annual pass holder thing. Annual pass holders from parking in their parking lot. So I know they're trying to attract a different crowd. And I'm all for that. Well, you know, I'm really curious to see. I was really excited when I saw this. I do enjoy Ballast Point. It is really expensive beer. I think what Downtown Disney needs is more family-friendly places. You know, just another...
Yeah, if they don't want a car coming with just, you know, 1.5 people, why are they building a brewery?
And I think they're trying to emulate the feel of Disney World, where they're trying to keep you on property. They're trying to entice you with all these, you know, fancy restaurants and good places. But at some point, you know, you also just need a Earl of Sandwich, or that place was always packed and still packed, and I don't think they've closed it yet. But you know, the family friendly places are certainly lacking, and I would like to see more of that in Downtown Disney. I don't know if we need a brewery. I'm excited that it's coming, but I'm, you know, old and not my kids.
It'll either flourish or it'll be gone. I mean, that's the thing. They kind of, it's you're in or you're out there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's, yeah, the places that don't do well don't last for long. And speaking of more family friendly places, Splitsville Luxury Lanes has arrived at Downtown Disney. A popular Walt Disney World restaurant has arrived at the Disneyland Resort as of last Monday. Splitsville Luxury Lanes, the combination bowling alley and restaurant that's been open since 2012 in what is now known as the Disney Springs shopping and dining area in the Walt Disney World Resort, is opening its first January 29th in downtown Disney at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. Splitsville now occupies the site formerly occupied by the House of Blues. House of Blues recently relocated across the street to the Anaheim Garden Walk. The restaurant made the news last month when a fire broke out at the construction site, but the literal dumpster fire did not significantly impact construction in any way, and the restaurant is prepping for its official opening. This was from last week. For its official opening next week, which it already has happened. Disney is promoting some new menu items that Splitsville will be bringing to its new Anaheim location, including Asian-inspired chicken sliders, a tempura battered chicken rice bowl with Thai chili sauce, and a poke bowl that seems to have taken over every strip mall in Southern California. The menu also includes the traditional pizza, burgers, chickens, sandwiches, and sushi, ranging in price from $12 to $32. What do we think of Splitsville bowling?
So it's a hotel and bowling? I missed something about
it. It's a restaurant. It's a fancy bowling.
So you're combining your food.
Oh, kind of like Lucky Strike.
A little bit like Lucky Strike, yeah. And I was going to ask if you've ever been to...
Honestly, I've been to Lucky Strike, and I prefer the rundown 70s decorated still, like, haven't upgraded anything, bowling alleys.
With nachos.
Yeah, the old nachos and pretzels. It's like these, why do I want to pay that much for bowling?
Or dinner.
Yeah, I don't need fancy food when I bowl. Like, honestly, Fountain Valley and what is it, Cypress or Garden Grove, they still have those bowling alleys that are like.
If you go about a half a mile or a mile down the street from Disneyland, there's a place called Lindbrook Bowl. It's on Lincoln and Brookhurst. In Anaheim. It's another one of those relics from the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah, was it Valley
Bowling? I like Brook Shadow as a street, though. I thought I was like, oh, dude, that's a cool street.
No, but like those old bowling alleys, they have a bar. So you can get your cocktails. And
a lot cheaper than you're going to get them in downtown Disney.
Yeah, it's not going to be fancy. You have to get like a 7 and 7. You're not going to be able to get like a cucumber martini. But I mean, really, do you need a cucumber martini if you're going to drink?
Well, but it's really about, attracting new. I mean, we are in an age range that is not probably their clientele desired.
I think we're right in there. Yeah,
we are. We're the ones with the supposed money.
disposable income, right?
Quote unquote money. Well, I would think it would be, okay, because I was just thinking it's for people in their, early to mid 20, like 21 to 20. 8 maybe, like, so where it's kind of fun for
those are the people that don't have any money,
and those are the people that are gonna, if they're not married yet, they're gonna be going to the bars and the clubs, not bowling. You don't meet people bowling, you go to bowling when you already have someone.
Wow, it's a bold statement there.
I think that they're trying to get that sort of like 28 to 40 demographic.
Right.
You have kids, but you're
looking for fun.
You're looking for something to do. You don't necessarily want to go. I mean, I love the old school bowling alleys.
Yeah,
those are my favorite things to do.
We should go bowling next date night, John.
Yeah,
go to Splitsville.
Nope. No.
So the food there.
The food is going to include it's going to include Asian inspired chicken sliders.
Okay, sliders is good.
Tempura battered chicken rice bowl with Thai chili sauce.
That seems weird to eat while bowling.
No. What seems weird to eat while bowling is poke.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah. I honestly don't trust sushi or poke or sashimi. Any raw fish, I don't trust in a regular restaurant.
I don't. Yeah, I've seen pictures from it online. It also includes pizza, burgers, chicken sandwiches, and sushi. Now they do have an open kitchen. So you can kind of see into there while they're preparing. That's kind of neat. They're definitely trying to find their footing. Some of the pictures that I've seen coming out of the new Splitsville have not been flattering. There was a post this morning in a Facebook group. Some of the paint's already starting to bubble and peel. Some of the construction actually on the back end of the building by the monorail beam is not done. There's insulation and open. They were definitely in a rush to get this place open. One of the pictures that our friend David Koenig posted was the fact that they have this beautiful open kitchen, but they've got burger buns in plastic bags from the bakery, like you would buy at Stater Brothers.
Yeah.
So they're trying to sell you on this idea of upscale bowling, upscale dining. They're having a little bit of trouble finding their feet. I've been to Lucky Strike Bowl. Lucky Strike Bowl is a, if you're not familiar, is a kind of a fancy bowling alley and arcade. We spent, the food's not fancy though. It's like, I think it's still like.
Kind of like Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's style. Yeah.
It's okay. Food is okay.
We spent more time in the arcade than we did bowling. I mean, you know.
Bowling's a whole thing, you know? That's a deal.
And I take my kids bowling in a lot of these old 70s bowling alleys. They offer free bowling for kids all summer. So I take my kids bowling a lot in the summer. And as for Lucky Strike, it's just I don't need that loud top 40 music pumping. I don't need to pay $10 for a cocktail or a soda. I don't need.
That's why it's not for you.
But it was, I will say this, though. I went there for a company party before, and that was fun. That is when it becomes okay.
Right.
So Splitsville for family is.
It's going to be interesting. This is another one. They're definitely going in a direction. And I think, like, to John's point, that they're trying to attract those late 20s to, you know, mid-career people with families, you know, a little bit more disposable income, maybe a little bit more upscale taste in dining. They're definitely catering to a demographic with this. I don't know if I'm that demographic. I'm definitely going to go check it out.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, to bring it on full circle, you know, don't knock it if you ain't tried it, right?
Right.
So, you know, it could be totally awesome.
I'm just not going to try the pokey.
Well, that you don't.
You know, that's
fine.
Probably
okay.
That is. Probably
that's why you get a list of things you can order from. You don't have to do. You know, you have to. If you go, you have to.
A good thing to not try out. And I mean, poke's everywhere. Like, there's good poke. There's bad poke. There's poke in a bowling. I don't know. Poke in a bowling.
That does sound funny. That does sound funny.
Because it's just if you're going to eat raw fish chunks. Yeah. You want it to be at a place that is specifically for that, so there's no cross-contamination with the raw beef or raw chicken.
Well, and I don't know if I would. I mean, and I enjoy poke. I don't necessarily, you know, go and seek it out all the time. But if I'm eating poke, that's something that I just want to enjoy. I don't know if I want to do it in between frames, you know, while I'm sitting there, or if I want to
with all the
And you got to eat that stuff while it's still fresh. You don't want it sitting out in between.
You know, bowling takes, you know, a whole game of bowling. If you've got three or four friends, we'll take it. You know, what, an hour, 45 minutes? Your poke is getting warm at the same time. Yeah. So,
don't get the sushi either.
So we'll have to see. We'll be out there. Maybe we'll take a group field trip and go check out some bowling.
It kind of comes back to anything, really, if you're in the right mood, if you're in the right. I think if you'll have a good time.
I think, true to your point, that this is part of their endeavor to keep you on property.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what else is there? So you've been to the theme parks. Well, what else is there to do? Okay, now you have bowling. Now you can go to the brewery. There's some other restaurants that are coming in.
See, there you go. You go bowling. You have some dinner. Then you go over to the brewery. Yeah. See.
So, what are you doing with your kids during all of this? Do they offer?
I think they're trying to market to people that. I mean, there's a lot of adults
that don't have kids.
Don't have kids that go to Disney.
It's not just you.
It's possible to not have kids.
Yeah. People are smart.
You know. I know married couples that they travel to Disney and they don't.
Yeah.
You know, there's websites, you know, dedicated to traveling to Disney as an adult without kids. Yeah. And
there's apparently gangs in Disney.
Right. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that on our next show. The roving motorcycle gangs of Disney.
Without motorcycles.
Goodness gracious. But that's for another show. We were going to talk about that this show, but the price increase news was breaking.
It's really more important.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but the other one isn't important. It's just funny.
And it's really sort of causing a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's causing a lot of distress amongst people. Some people are growing increasingly uncomfortable with it. And Disney's getting it's starting to show up in the news a lot more. And why Disney keeps tolerating this, I haven't figured out yet. But again, that's a discussion for another show. Yep. So
that'll be a fun discussion. So tune in next time.
That will be, and hopefully David will show up for the next one, because David didn't show up for this one. All right, so that's going to do it for park hopping. We're going to move on now. We have an ongoing series of previews for what's coming to the theme parks in 2018, and this week, and this is a very Disney heavy show, but this is where all the breaking news and really Disney just kind of just pumps out content. You know, we love to talk about Universal. We love to talk about SeaWorld. We love to talk about Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm, I think, is the second most one that we talk about here. But Disney just pumps out sheer volumes of content, which, of course, helps us. So we're going to talk this week about Pixar Place coming to the Disneyland Resort, which you may or may not have heard, and it's going to be presented in cooperation with the Pixar Pier, bringing new attractions to Paradise Pier at Disney's California Adventure, and also the moving of the Paint the Night Parade over to California Adventure. So I'm just going to – I have a little bit of a story prepared. We're going to talk about our thoughts on Pixar Fest coming to the Disneyland Resort. The Wonderful World of Pixar will get a new home at California Adventure Park when Pixar Pier opens in summer 2018, transforming the area that is now Paradise Pier with the thrilling new Incredicoaster, which, as we talked about, taking the place of California Screaming. So four new neighborhoods plus entertainment, themed food, and merchandise. Guests will experience Pixar stories and characters in new ways on the seaside waterfront at the Disneyland Resort. Pixar Pier is going to be a permanent land along the south shore of Paradise Bay and will be debuting with the first ever Pixar Fest, which is going to be running limited time from April 13th, 2018. The first neighborhood inspired by Disney Pixar's The Incredibles will open in summer 2018 with the Incredicoaster, permanently transformed from the attraction that is now California Screamin'. Incredicoaster will invite guests into a mid-century modern style loading area inspired by the Parr family home. A combination of character figurines, lighting, and special effects will bring the action to life as the Parr family races along guests in an attempt to catch baby Jack-Jack. Mm-hmm. The new character moments include scenes, special effects, and exciting musical score, which will connect the attraction to Toy Story's The Incredibles 2.
Nice.
Coming to a theater near you, June 14th, 2018. The neighborhood inspired by Disney Pixar's Toy Story will be developed around the popular Toy Story Midway Mania. Another neighborhood inspired by Disneyland Pixar's Inside Out will debut a new family-friendly attraction that's scheduled to open at a later date. And I think this is going to, if you've been to California Adventure, where the old Malibuumer attraction used to be. Fourth neighborhood will celebrate a collection of guest favorite Pixar stories. Mickey's Fun Wheel will be rethemed with a new look, and each of the 24 gondolas will showcase a different Pixar character. This is the sad part. Ariel's Grotto Restaurant and... pause tier, the Cove Bar will be transformed into a Pixar themed lounge offering sparkling views of Paradise Bay and the new Pixar Pier. Ariel's Grotto and Cove Bar have closed January as of January the 8th. The Cove Bar reopening briefly in April before its permanent transformation. Guests wishing to reserve World of Color dining packages after January 7th should consider the Carthay Circle Restaurant or Wine Country Trattoria. Totally not the same. The remaining areas of the original Paradise Pier, including Paradise Garden, Silly Symphony Swings, Jumpin' Jellyfish, Goofy Sky School, Golden Zephyr, and The Little Mermaid Undersea Adventures will become a new land called Paradise Park. The opening of Pixar Fest will add the fun to Pixar. The opening of Pixar Pier will add to the fun of Pixar Fest, a celebration of friendship that begins April 13, 2018. Pixar Fest will include the new fireworks show Together Forever, Pixar Nighttime Spectacular, the return of the Pixar Play Parade, appearing for the first time at Disneyland Park, and the return of Paint the Night, performing this time at California Adventure. Part of Pixar Fest at Disneyland will include the Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters, Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, It's a Small World, featuring characters from Toy Story, Character Encounters with Pixar Pals, and Fantasmic. And then again at Disney California Adventure, Toy Story Midway Mania, A Bug's Land, which, if you believe the rumors or not, will be soon be making way for the Marvel characters, and DJ's Dance and Drive, an interactive dance party in Cars Land. I have my thoughts on this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's start with you guys. How do you feel about? Are you guys fans of the Pixar
movies? Absolutely.
Oh yeah, we have kids. Of course we are. Pixar does a great job of making a family movie that's more geared towards young kids.
I'm a big fan of the Pixar movies. I don't know how big of a fan I am of this change. I think that California had finally gotten its California Adventure was finally starting to get its legs. I mean, they spent $1 billion. Retheming the park, retheming certain areas, fixing things that were not great when the park first opened. And I think they did a really good job and they just needed a little bit of tweaking. This is
a rehaul.
This is a rehaul. This is lighting a case of dynamite underneath the park and just blowing it all up. I never was a big fan of the Paradise Pier area because that always reminded me of, you know, the seaside amusement parks and things like that that were kind of anathema to what Walt believed and the reason that Disneyland was designed. But with the new design of California Adventure, I thought it fit in nicely. You know, it was a throwback to the old, to Pike and Pacific Ocean Park and things like that in California's history. So, John, you said you were a fan of California Screamin', right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but I mean, it's been years since I've been on it, but I mean, I never liked the name. I don't know. That has nothing to do with anything, but I thought the name was.
Yeah. The music was a little, you know, was always very, you know, carnival-y and cartoony essentially they're swapping parades. One parade is going from one park and the other park, you know, their parade is going to another park. I am excited to see some of the new the new animations and the new figures coming. You know, I've always thought that California Screaming, while a great coaster, never was really a Disney coaster. I think Disney coasters, I think Rock and Roller Coaster, I think Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, it's different.
To me, it was just,
it's like a
roller coaster.
A roller coaster, yeah.
You know, legit roller coaster. Which a lot of people loved. But so I think putting those Disney touches is going to make it, it's going to increase, it's going to tend it to the next level. It's going to really make it entertaining.
What are you losing? Because you're very, obviously very, not, I don't want to say very upset, but what's happening?
He's very distressed.
What's happening here that you're not happy with?
To me, the theming just doesn't go right. So they rethemed California Adventure to be the 1920s right around the arrival of Walt Disney, right?
Hollywood.
Mm-hmm, with the whole Boulevard entrance, and you have the red car, and you have the Carthay Circle Theater.
Yeah.
So this, to somebody somewhere said, mid-century modern design, that must be the 30s, you know, and it's not. It's a totally different time period. So I think they're losing a little bit of that cohesiveness, right? Okay. I'm a big, you know, I work in storytelling. I work in theater. I've always... To me, it loses a little bit of that storytelling.
Gotcha.
I'm also losing the Cove Bar. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I know. That's huge for you.
The Cove Bar was one of our favorite places to just kind of sit and have a cocktail. I don't know if it needs that. Everything's got to be an IP with Disney nowadays. So, again, I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to see what it looks like. But that is just my thought. And did this sound interesting to you guys?
No, you know what? I was just like, while you're going through all this and back onto our, you know, earlier conversations on Star Wars Land. When I was a kid, one of the things I loved about Disney is no matter, you go there once a year and everything's the same. You knew what to expect. You went on, this was your favorite ride. It seems like all they do now is keep changing. Every year there's something new. Like, why can't they just keep it the same?
My problem with this whole direction that Disney's going in, it's, you know, it's just different. I don't think it's bad. You know, obviously, John said I was very distressed.
Just see it in your eyes, man.
I can't. It's raging. No, I'm not. My whole problem with the direction that Disney's going is that everything's got to be an intellectual property. You know, we can't have rides like Pirates of the Caribbean anymore. And Disney, you know, did it to a certain degree. But everything feels like it's got, if it doesn't have an intellectual property tied to it, it's not valuable.
Ah, I get what you're saying.
You know, so we don't get rides like the Haunted Mansion. We don't get rides like Pirates of the Caribbean. We don't get like the Jungle Cruise. You know, those classic Disney attractions that make you remember, you know, that give you a certain feeling.
The submarine ride.
So the old submarine ride, right?
Yeah.
So those are
Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn. Even that was tied to a Disney
Technically,
movie.
You're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. My bad.
Obscure movie called Third Man on the Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a small world, right? We had to put characters in It's a Small World to make it feel relevant. And maybe that's just me being, you know, getting older and saying, I don't like things changing, but I would rather them see them develop new concepts and really, you know, increase the theming on Paradise Pier, certainly. But I don't know that it needs to have, an intellectual property tied to everything we do.
When you say that now, I wasn't even really thinking about that, but now that you say that, yeah, absolutely. Everything, it's all about, it's the marketing of it all.
Absolutely.
And it's like, whoa, you're right. I totally didn't even think about that.
But it's not that I mind the change. I don't mind change. It's just too much constantly so that you're, and maybe this is the point they're doing it, your Disney experience is never the same as it was the year before.
And which could be good, too.
It could, but I'd like there to be... I just like certain things to stay the same.
Disneyland more than Disney World has always had to balance that out, because this is definitely, I mean, you look at things even back to the 60s, where it was definitely like, this is a, you know, park where Southern California locals come back again and again and again. And so Disney has always had to balance that nostalgia,
yeah,
right? People's good feelings about things. They're, you know, right now it's a construction land after all, because they're tearing up the streetcar tracks.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
You know, but.
Maybe that will solve their annual pass holder problem.
Yeah, getting rid of all that. But you know, they're keeping the nostalgia. They're just replacing the tracks. So people are losing their minds because they're replacing.
It's going to turn left instead of right. Ah!
And there is a certain amount of that in the Disney fandom. So, you know.
Sorry, Disney fans.
I'm one of those. You know, people are losing their minds over this Pirates of the Caribbean change that's coming with, you know, the
what
auction
change?
Scene. They're changing the auction scene for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's okay though. That one makes sense.
Yeah, you know, but it does. But
I mean, it's true history, but still,
and it's very '60s sort of thing, but people are losing their minds because they don't want to, you know. So I'm okay with change, but I would much rather them see them develop new concepts and new ideas that aren't part of some massive marketing tool.
Speaking of Pirates of the Caribbean, when they added Captain Jack Sparrow to it, that's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, no,
people
it doesn't really fit in.
Yeah. But they felt that they had to put, well, we have this intellectual property. And, you know, now who cares about it, right? It's lost that timelessness a little bit by putting Jack Sparrow in.
Oh, it was kind of cool, though, when they had the real Johnny Depp there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
I'm convinced.
But that's more cool of him than them.
Yeah.
Well, they should just keep him there at all times. Like,
well, I mean, what else
make
is
part
he,
of the ride.
What else is he doing?
What is else is he doing?
Cryogenically freeze him like they did Walt Disney.
He did this other cool thing, too, with, like, he was in, like, the, what are those called? The things outside. Where it's like movie posters.
Yes.
And there was one, I think
it was the Haunted, it was not Haunted, it was the Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter, yeah. And like he was talking to him and like,
it was really
that was pretty cool. That was really awesome.
So
that must be fun to be him.
No, I'm sure it's not bad being him.
I'm sure.
Just not good being his wife in Australia.
The money's good.
Or is it?
Maybe, yeah, maybe that's
maybe
why
he's
had a bunch of people.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's taking those. Yeah, all right.
Anyway.
Well, on that lighthearted note, thank you guys. Thank you, John. Thank you, Brandis, for joining us. We're going to wrap up our preview of 2018 with our look at the 2018 Boysenberry Festival and a look at the 2018 Disney's California Adventure Food and Wine Festival on our next show. Thank you for joining us. Again, thank you, John. Thank you, Brandis. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to connect with us on all of our social media platforms. For now, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in vacation.